G'day world, Chris Hogan and Andrew Grote come to you live from Me Media Studio here at Burley Heads for episode 77 of Get Fact Up, and it's an awesome one today. It's going to be about, we're going to rock this. You ready?
Cybersecurity Notifile Data Breaches Act 2017.
Woo! Are you excited?
Yeah. Pumped about this topic.
Normally a lawyer would be telling you about this stuff, and as I was told recently, and be honest, it wasn't that exciting the way they were saying it, but I tell you what, it was pretty scary.
It's important to know about this stuff, yeah, for sure.
So that's what we're bringing it to you. So essentially on February 22nd, a new federal legislation came into place in Australia, which is an amendment to the Privacy Act, which basically says that if you have a data breach inside your company, then you have to notify everybody whose information was breached within 30 days of the breach as to what information was breached.
Which is huge if you run an e-commerce store with tens of thousands of customers in your database. So,
which is why we're talking about it, because more often than not, breaches are happening on websites. Yeah, they're happening in that your website's been hacked. It could just be a very small hack. For example, a bit of malware being a bit of a pain in the butt on your website, popping up sort of stuff. But viruses or hacks on your website can actually extract information or watch and snoop people's data.
Or just expose. It doesn't even have to take it.
That's right.
And it can be simpler than that too. It can be as simple as an email going to the wrong person with the wrong details.
Yoo-hoo! So essentially, or it can also be a lost laptop. You know, you could lose some files, even paper. Paper files could be lost in transit somewhere. Yeah, great. So essentially, you have to notify the people who have been affected by the breach as to what information got out in full. And you have to do that within 30 days. Now, let's not make a secondary breach and email everybody at the same time via a CC. So everybody gets everybody else's emails and then tell everybody that here's the data that got out, because that would be bad.
Yeah, so it has to be individual.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which you might go, holy hell, I've got 1,000s of people in my database, and how am I going to notify all of them? Well, that's what email software is for, like MailChimp and Campaign Monitor, for example. So if you don't know how to do that and you need to know, then you can definitely give us a bell. But essentially, you should have a policy in place. You should kind of know how to do this stuff if it arises in-house.
So to say what they're saying and then sort of break it down, they're saying a data breach happens if there's unauthorized access or unauthorized disclosure or loss of personal information held by an entity. The access, disclosure or loss is likely to result in serious harm of the individuals whom the information relates. So there's two things that are really ambiguous there, and that's what is a breach and what is serious harm. And they don't really go too much further into that. So what we've kind of put together is how to assess a data breach and that sort of thing. So their course of action was initiate, investigate, evaluate, which again is really ambiguous. So really that means find out specifically who was affected, get a list of customers, clients that may have been affected by this, whether they were, definitely were, or potentially were. You have to get that list of people. Second thing you have to do is find out what information may have been potentially accessed. So is it phone, address, credit card, anything like that? And then when they say evaluate, that basically means you have to notify them. And it's better to err on the side of caution and notify anyone that was potentially affected by it, anyone and everyone. Mm. And you also have to notify OAIC as well, yep, of the breach.
So everybody who is involved or has a connection to the breach is responsible. So in regards to a website breach, then For example, if you're a Me Media client, then Me Media are just as responsible as you, the client, to notify people of the breach. So we have to notify you, our client, and then you would have to notify all of your customers. So essentially, it's a bit scary for website owners, because breaches actually happen a lot on certain platforms. And I'm going to name and shame it, because a lot of you, in fact, 25% of the world's websites are made up by WordPress websites. And WordPress websites, albeit, very functional and flexible and have hundreds, if not thousands, of plugins that allow people to do, cool stuff on the internet, more often than not, they're not being maintained, they're not being kept up to date, and the actual vulnerabilities are published live on the internet. And in fact, you were saying something very interesting earlier.
Well, WordPress is open source, which means everyone can see the files that are in WordPress itself. Everyone can see the files that are in all the plugins. Everyone knows what's there. So more often than not, the hackers of these plugins and files are more diligent than the developers. So the first people to find the exploits are the people hacking. And then the developers patch it up. So there's forums out there that literally say, here's all the exploits of new WordPress updates and new plugins and things like that. So that's the problem with WordPress. If you're not keeping it perfectly up to date, you're exposed often.
It's a problem and a benefit, because in some respects, if you keep on top of it, or if your developers keep on top of it, then effectively you could have the most secure website on the internet.
But if you don't update for a year, then you're very exposed potentially.
So. Exactly. And we pick on WordPress because it does make up 25% of the world's websites, but everybody else is also, at risk, if not more so, in that you're not going to have a website dedicated to your piece of software, your custom piece of software, telling you what your vulnerabilities are. You're just going to get hacked. So this, we've kind of put down three things that you can do to help protect yourself or help protect your website. And this is something that may just go straight over your head, but it's important to pass on to your web developer.
Well, we can put links to all this as well. So the first thing is you should be making sure your server's secure. So wherever your files are hosted on the web, you're going to have something along the lines of cPanel or WHM, if you're a PHP site, which is 90%. So they'll have firewalls and login blockers built in. So there's cphulk, that's a login blocker that's automatically on every WHM install on a server. And CSF, which is a firewall, which can easily be switched on.
Yep.
So you want to have that in place. That's just preventing everything, for starters. Yep. Second thing you can do is make sure you're keeping track of changes to all the files on the server. So you can set up what's called version control. And the two main ones, the two big ones, are Git and Subversion, SVN. And what they do is every time a file's changed, there's a log of it. So you can see every time a line of code or even a letter is changed in a file, it'll keep a log of everything. So if you have that installed, then you can set up, say, notifications maybe. Every time that something's changed.
And it says also who changed it as well. So then you
can see if it's an anonymous change.
Yeah.
And obviously you don't want, if you're developing your website constantly, you don't want a notification every single time. So maybe set up daily logs that are sent to your developer so they can just quickly keep track and make sure this is what we're doing, that's fine. And then if they see something that doesn't look right, then they're going to be on top of it a lot quicker.
Yeah. There will be analysis, paralysis by analysis. And so in those platforms, you can actually set up exclusions to say that only notify me when somebody I don't know, anonymous person, actually updates the file. So that's probably a really good thing to put in place as well.
Yeah. So, and then the third level is just at the user level. So you need to have some sort of password management policy in place. So that's your FTP passwords, cPanel passwords, even email passwords, if you're using a CMS like WordPress or anything else that's out there, changing those passwords regularly. So maybe that's monthly, something like that. And then you have to make sure you're using, you know, secure passwords, letters, numbers, symbols.
Mm.
And the easiest way to keep track of this is not to just remember all your passwords and use one password for everything. Get a password manager, like we use LastPass, so that's a good one. Mm. And that just keeps track of all of your passwords securely, and you don't have to worry about having complex passwords anymore. And big tip here, don't email or personal message people username and passwords, because you may have a secure internal network when you're emailing staff, but if you're sending passwords out to other people, you just don't know if they're going to leave their laptop open or they're going to send that on to someone else or if they have a secure network. So don't email passwords.
That's right, because in that respect, you really may not even know if your data's been breached. If someone has a real username and password to get into the administration area and potentially export files or export the database.
And a lot of people I see do this. They send passwords via Facebook Messenger and all sorts of stuff like that, which is just not secure at all.
No.
So when we're talking about LastPass, the good thing about LastPass is you can set up guest users and multiple users and things like that. So if you had people working externally, maybe you could put their passwords into a folder in LastPass and just give them access to that. So then everyone's using the same password management system. It's much more secure.
Absolutely. And then when they leave, you can just shut it down and you can also lock it down so they can never actually see the password that they've been given as well, I believe. So,
for example, if a remote staff member moved on or something like that, you can just lock that account and then that's all their passwords changed in one hit. Right. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I think that's a good brief from us. Hopefully you stayed awake for that. All that legal speak and stuff. Thanks very much for watching Get Fact Dump from Me Media. You can see it on memedia.com.au, our Facebook page. Just search for Me Media and also on YouTube. So stay tuned. We've got more coming next week. And if you're interested, go back and check out some of the previous ones. There's some great info there that's still very valid.
Thank you.
Cheers.